Good morning, everyone. We'll commence our service of worship this morning by singing together the paraphrase number 63 in your hymn book, the paraphrase number 63, in the page 169. Behold the amazing gift of love the Father hath bestowed on us, the sinful sons of men, to call us sons of God. The paraphrase number 63, the page 169, we'll stand as we sing. Just look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let us seek the Lord for his help and blessing and presence with us here today. Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for the wonderful joy and privilege and liberty that affords us today as thy people is gathering here together in the house of the Lord to praise thee and to worship thee. And Father, we give thee thanks and we give thee praise today for our Savior, for our Redeemer. We thank thee for him who is without sin, him who came into this world in the fullness, Lord, of thy time, O God. And Father, we thank that he walked amongst men. He went about doing good. We thank that Christ lived a perfect, spotless, flawless life. And Father, we thank thee that he kept the law of God perfectly for us. Thy word tells us that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And Father, we thank thee that Christ went willingly to the cross of Calvary. There he suffered, there he bled and died upon that middle tree. And Father, we thank thee that upon that cross he poured out his life unto death. He shed his precious blood, he gave his life a ransom for many. And Father, we thank thee that he paid the debt of our sin in full. And Father, we thank thee today for that finished work of Christ. And we thank thee that he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and we praise thee and we thank thee, O God, that with his stripes we are healed. And O God, our Father, as we come to thee today, we give thee thanks and praise that Christ has died for us. And Father, we thank that he was buried and that the third day he rose again, triumphant over death, over sin, over hell, over the grave, that he is alive forevermore. And Father, we thank that Christ has ascended on high, that he is seated at thy right hand of the majesty on high, and that there he prays for us people. He ever lives to intercede for us as the people of God. And we rejoice and we thank thee, O God, that we're accepted in the Beloved. And our Heavenly Father, we do come before thee today. We do confess our sins before thee. We acknowledge our faults, our feelings, our shortcomings. Lord, they are many. We pray for that fresh cleansing in our Savior's blood. Create within us, Lord, that clean heart. Renew, Lord, within us that right spirit. And prepare our hearts this day to meet with thee, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Grant, Lord, that the thoughts of our heart, the words of our lips, O God, would be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Now, Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy great salvation today. We thank thee for the sufficiency of thy grace. We thank thee that thou art one that knows our every care, that thou art one that knows our every need. And Father, we thank thee that thou art able to meet us each one at the very point of our need, out of thy riches, O God, and glory. Bless every child of God in this meeting house today. We thank thee for each one who is saved. We pray that thou would bless thy people, that thou would lead thy people on with thyself into a closer walk and relationship, Lord, with thee. And for any today going through times of trial or testing, be thou their strength, be thou their stay, O God, we pray. For others needing a word of counsel, be thou their guide. And others who may be cold at heart, may be walking afar off from thee, we pray that they will know thy restoring touch, O God, today we beseech of thee. And Father, for any with us today, unsaved, young or old alike, Lord, speak to them. And Father, we pray today that by thy grace and power, they might come to know and trust the Lord as Savior. Remember any today who cannot be with us because of age or sickness or infirmity. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt minister to their needs, O God, out of thy riches, O God, in glory. Lord, we ask of thee. And for others, Lord, who mourn and grieve, have suffered loss in recent times, comfort their hearts. Be unto them all that they would need and require. Again, we thank thee for every outreach from this congregation, the children's work, the youth work, the outreach ministry, and other aspects whereby the word of God is sent forth near and far. We pray that thou would bless every ministry to the saving of souls, to the extension, Lord, of thy kingdom. O God, we pray. Remember all our sister congregations today. Remember right across our land, O God. Bless every faithful servant of God. Remember missions commencing, some continuing, some concluding. Bless these special efforts, we pray. Remember these islands north and south of the border, England, Scotland, and Wales. We pray that thou would bless thy church and extend thy kingdom. Have mercy, Lord, upon our royal family. We pray that the light of the gospel, the light of the truth of thy word would shine into that household, that they would be guided and directed by thy word. We pray again for those that rule in our land and in our nation, those that would seek to promote laws that are contrary to thy word. We pray that they would realize there's a God in heaven with whom they have to do, and there might be that turning unto thee and to thy word and to thy truth. Bless our missionaries today, Lord, those that have gone at the call of God to distant foreign fields. Bless them, be with them and be near them, and encourage them greatly in the Lord. Do abide with us now, we pray. We thank thee for the little one today that has been brought to the house of the Lord to be dedicated. We pray that thou would bless her and all the family and friends that have gathered especially for this occasion, we pray, that they too will know the rich blessing of the Lord upon them as they gather with us here in thy house today. Abide with us. We pray that in everything that is said and done in our services today, that Christ would be honored and glorified, for it is in his precious and worthy name that we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Amen. Now, we are delighted today to have Matthew and Anna May with us, and they've brought their little one that the Lord has recently given them to be dedicated here in the house of the Lord. It's always a joy and a privilege to share in a dedication service of a little one. We welcome also their family members and friends and family circle. Welcome them, and delighted to have you with us here today. And we pray the Lord will richly bless you as you fellowship with us also around the Word of God. And I always ask the parents and of dedication service is their hymn you'd like to sing. So they have chosen as their hymn for this dedication service, a well-known children's hymn, hymn number 695, 695. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. We'll stand as we sing this hymn. We'll sing the first two verses, and then we'll have the dedication service. Then following that, we'll conclude with the remainder of the hymn. 695, we'll stand as we sing. As we mentioned, it is a joy to dedicate a little one to the Lord, and a dedication service is something that is very solemn also before the Lord. But also add this morning that dedication does not save a child, does not make that child an inheritor of the kingdom of God, because the Bible, the Word of God, makes it very clear that there's only one way for any one of us to be sure of heaven. That is for us to be saved through the atoning death, the atoning sacrifice and blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And a person who is saved is one who has repented of their sin, who has confessed their need as a sinner to the Lord, and puts their faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. However, as far as the dedication of a child in a Christian home is concerned, it is really the testimony of the parents' own faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And it is also an expression of their own desire and their own burden for God's blessing upon their child, their little one. And that chief blessing being that in the fullness of God's time, this little one will be brought to that place of repentance toward God and to that place of saving faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I would also add that dedication in no way relinquishes Christian parents of their responsibility to bring their child up in the ways of God and to teach the child, the little one, the way of salvation by word, by example, and by prayer. And I would also add that that same responsibility applies to every member here of our congregation in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church. Yes, as a church, we too have a solemn responsibility to pray for this little one, that it would come to Christ and it would be taught the ways of God. I'd ask the congregation please to stand. We just want to read some scriptures with you that focus upon the importance of children being taught the ways of God. Our first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 7. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart.
Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The second reading is from Psalm 78, verses 6 and 7, that the generation to come might know them. That's the things of God, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And then we read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then our final reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Amen, and may God bless the reading of his word to all our hearts today. Matthew and Anna May, do you both profess saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Matthew and Anna May, do you both promise before the Lord, God helping you, to bring this little one up in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord? I now dedicate thee, Chloe Jane Dunn, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for this special occasion today that finds us in the house of God, and for Anna May and for Matthew coming to the house of God to bring their little one, Chloe, to dedicate her to the Lord. We thank thee for the gathering together of the family circle also with them here today, and their own children also. And Lord, we pray today for Chloe. We thank thee for her. We thank the Lord for bringing her safely into this world. And Father, we pray that the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will rest and abide upon this little one. We pray that thou would bless her with health and with strength. We pray, O God, that thou would bless her with the wisdom of the Lord. And Father, we pray most importantly of all that early and young in life she'll be made wise unto salvation, that she'll come to trust her mummy and daddy's Savior and put her trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, we pray. Bless her. Keep thy protecting hand upon her throughout her childhood days and into teenage years in thy will, and keep your hand upon her for good, that she might be saved early in life. Protect it, Lord, from the evil ways of this ungodly world. And Father, we pray that she might grow up to serve thee, to follow thee, and to live for thee, and to be a great blessing to our parents, a great blessing to the rest of her family and her family circle, that thou would use her, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. Bless Matthew and Anna May. We thank thee for them. We thank thee for saving them. And thank thee for their desire for the Lord's blessing upon their little one and upon their family. Bless them together as husband and wife and parents in the upbringing, Lord, and the rearing of Chloe. Do bless Thomas and Grace as well. Bless them together as a family. Meet their every need. Lead them and guide them in the ways of the Lord. We thank thee for their parents and family circle that are with us here today. Bless all Anna May's family and wider family circle. Do remember Matthew's family and wider family circle as well. We pray you'd bless them. And that even, Lord, through the little gift of Chloe, that the families would be drawn closer to one another, closer, Lord, to thee, and that they might know the rich blessing of the Lord upon them. And even for any in the wider family circle today who know not the Lord as Savior, even draw them this day also to put their faith and trust in Christ as their Redeemer. We thank thee for your presence and for thy word. And these verses about the importance of children and the things of God being taught to them, We pray that thou would bless them to all our hearts, for we ask all these things in our Savior's precious and wonderful name. Amen. And amen. Lord bless. Just conclude our service by singing together the rest of this hymn, 695, verse 3, 4, and 5, along with the chorus as the organist leads us. Please, in God's Word for Bible reading today, to the Old Testament book of Song of Solomon and to the chapter number 4. Song of Solomon, chapter number 4, beginning our reading at the verse 1 of the chapter. Let us hear God's precious Word as we read it together today. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins. None is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of a manna, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's den and from the mountains of the lepers. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. The smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed.
Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 12. And may the Lord add his blessing to this public reading of his eternal word and truth to all our hearts. Welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning to God's house. It's good to see all who have gathered with us today. We bid you all a very special welcome. If you're visiting with us, it's a joy to visit us, to share in our fellowship. Trust that you'll feel at home. You know, God's blessing. If you're a believer, may you be drawn closer to the Lord. If you're here today and you're not saved, may this day be the very day of your salvation. Immediately after the service this morning is the Lord's table. And that is open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. You don't have to be a member of this church, but if you know and love the Lord as Savior, the Lord invites you to remember his death in his own appointed way. The prayer meeting tonight at 6:30 and the gospel service at 7. We'll be long to bring God's word. Pray for that meeting. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Today being the first Sunday of the month, this building fund offering. So do remember that, please. Tomorrow afternoon meeting here at the church car park, 2 p.m., commencing again the door-to-door outreach. Pray for that. If you're able to join with us, we'd be delighted to see you. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. I belong to take that meeting, encourage as many as possible to gather as we want to focus on prayer for the forthcoming mission. Do please pray also and remember the children's meetings this week at 6:30, Tuesday night, Tresna, Wednesday night, Lisbalaw, Thursday night, Maguire's Bridge, Friday night, Bethel. Also here Friday night, 8 p.m., is the youth fellowship meeting. All young people are welcome. Also this coming Friday at 8 p.m. is our monthly presbytery meeting in our Castle Dare Church. And ask the brethren there of session to remember that also, please. Next Lord's Day, the 8th of October, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. Morning worship, 12 noon. The evening gospel service, 7 p.m. Both services preceded by the half of prayer. And the soloist at the evening meeting is our brother, Mr. Nigel Davidson from Macrofelt. Also, next Lord's Day afternoon, there's a special season of prayer here in the prayer room from 3:30 to 4:30, just to pray for the forthcoming mission and also the harvest services. So do remember that just for an hour in the back prayer room next Lord's Day afternoon. We encourage you to keep that time free and join with us for prayer. Also, do please pray for our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell, commencing a gospel mission 1 week in our Kuskeri Church today at 3:30. Monday through to Friday at 8 p.m., pray for those meetings. If at all possible, do go along and support them and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Our harvest services will be this day fortnight, Lord's Day the 15th, 12 noon, the guest preacher, Reverend Gareth Wilson, 7 p.m., the guest preacher, Reverend Jeffrey Abraham, the soloist at night, Mrs. Amanda Reed. Monday night the 16th, 8 p.m., the guest preacher, the Reverend Ryan McKee, and he and his wife will be along to sing. And then on the Monday night, there'll be harvest supper for all. So do remember that also. Can I say the church will be open for harvest decorating on Friday night, the 13th of October, from about 8 p.m. onward. And also will be open on the Saturday, if anyone wishes to help on the Saturday. And all ladies are welcome to come along and help with this labor. Please pray for the gospel mission from the 22nd to the 29th of October, Lord's Day, 7 p.m., weeknights, 8 p.m., the evangelist, Reverend John Morrow, the singers and testimonies each night. Take the wee invitation cards out on the table in the porch and give them out. And of course, there'll be outreach for that on the run-up now to the mission. If anyone wants to do their own particular area with invites, let me know. We can give you a number of invites for that area. Just let us know so that there is no overlap. The offering for the Royal Bank Charity Collection last Lord's Day evening came to £274. And 20 pence, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. Sister Miss Bethany Edwards is hosting a coffee morning this Saturday, the 7th of October, from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. in Lisbalaw, Orange Hall. All proceeds there go towards missionary work in the Philippines. And any ladies wishing to help, then do contact our Sister Bethany, please. Also, the session are hoping to arrange a baptismal service in the near future. And again, if any believer here is wishing to be baptized and wants to speak to me about this matter, then do so as soon as possible, please. So do remember that, please. There is a sheet out there as well for the tea rota during the mission. Encourage ladies just to remember that during the night of the mission. If you're able to do a night for tea rota, that will be deeply appreciated.
Sunday school, the annual Sunday school shoebox appeal again is coming around, and that is this year for Eastern Europe and Ukraine. There's leaflets for that on the table in the hall, and all shoeboxes are to be in the prayer room there by the end of October. So do remember that as a very important practical ministry to others in great need in Eastern Europe. FEAM, Friends of Missionary Work in Africa Endeavour, are having their annual prayer service on Saturday, the 28th of October at 7:30 p.m. Hillsborough Free Presbyterian Church. All are welcome. There is a prayer bulletin there as well regarding our works in North America. That's free. We encourage you to take that. Keeps you up to date with the works out there. Can also draw your attention to a little booklet produced by the Reverend Peter McIntyre from our Clogher Valley Church, The Williamite Revolution, Making Modern Britain. That's priced at £2. There's a number of copies out there on the table in the porch. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to hymn number 377. 377. We don't take up an offering during the meeting, but do remember the offering plates as you leave. I've something in my heart that Jesus gave to me. Makes me feel like singing glory all the day. He found my captive soul and gave me liberty. And now I feel like singing glory. We'll keep our seats while we sing the early part of this old hymn of testimony.
Thank you.
turn again to that passage of Scripture that we read earlier, please, to the Song of Solomon, chapter number 4. And with God's Word open before us, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in this meeting today. Lord, grant an increasing sense of Thy nearness. Still our hearts before Thee. Each and every one of us know and hear the speaking voice of God. Bless Thy people. Lord, may we know that quickening, that reviving touch that comes from Thee. For any in our gathering who know not the Lord as Savior, speak to them today. They come and put their trust in Christ as their own and personal Savior. Bless us now. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. Give help and enablement to preach Thy word. Let nothing be said that is not of Thee. Give us right words, right from Thy very self. And let the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified amongst us here today. We ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text for today you'll find in verse number 12 of the Song of Solomon, chapter number 4. The garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. Now in our text here, the Lord is speaking about His church. And the church consists of all God's people from the beginning of time right till the end of time. Such, yes, have repented of their sins. Such are born again of God the Holy Spirit. Such are trusting in Christ and in a sacrifice alone for their salvation. Speaking of the child of God, the Bible says of Christ, but as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And dear friend, today in our service, let me say this, that if you are to be a member of the Lord's church here on earth and one day also be part of His glorified church in heaven, then now in time, as a repentant sinner, you must come to Christ, come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith alone and put your trust in Him to be your Savior, to wash away your sins and to save your soul by His precious blood that He shed upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you're here today and you're not saved, that's our prayer for you. You'll come to Christ today. Put your faith and trust in Him. Know the wonderful joy and blessing of God's salvation in your heart. And in verse 12 here before us, you will see that the Lord here in our text, He uses three pictures in particular to describe His church. One of those is mentioned at the end of the verse. It is described there as a fountain sealed. When we think of a fountain, we think of an abundance of waters. And that really speaks to us of the abundance of God's grace for all His people. God's promise to every one of His children is, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then we see also there that the church is described and likened unto, it says, a spring shut up. And in the hot climate of the Middle East, a spring of water was something that was tremendously precious, exceedingly precious. And that really shows us how all the Lord's people, all the Lord's redeemed people, whoever they are, wherever they are to be found, they too are exceedingly precious to the Lord. Speaking of His own people in the book of Isaiah, the Lord says, thou wast precious in my sight. Then in our text we see how the church is likened unto a garden. It says, a garden enclosed. And by the aim of a garden is to produce beautiful fruit and beautiful flowers. Thus God's people are to bring forth fruit to the glory of the Lord in their lives. Remember what Christ said to His disciples. He said, I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. We read of the character of that fruit that the Lord desires in His people in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. And it says there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no
law. And child of God, the Lord has saved you and I for this very purpose here on earth. Yes, we have been saved to bring forth fruit in our lives, fruit that glorifies the Lord our God and Savior. That being so, then let us consider this great verse here before us today, which describes God's people as a garden enclosed. What then can we say about this garden enclosed? Well, notice first of all here with me, these words really speak to you and I about the nearness of the Lord's church to the Lord. You look at what our text says. It says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. Notice those two words, my sister, my spouse. A sister is one who is close to our brother. A spouse is one who is close to our husband. And that really shows to us the close bond that there is between the Lord and all his people. The psalmist describes the people of God as a people, he says, near unto him. Believer, I encourage you, keep this truth ever before you in this life. In salvation, you are united to Christ, and there is no power on earth, there is no power in hell that can break that union. It is an indissoluble union. Turn in your Bible over to Romans chapter number 8 and go down there to the final verses of that chapter. And you see how Paul makes reference to this union and how no power on earth, no power in hell can break that union between the Lord and his people. He says in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What tremendous words of promise they are there to the Christian. Child of God, you are near to the Lord, and you're near to the Lord because you have been born again of God the Holy Spirit. Through the new birth, the Holy Spirit of God, believer, dwells within your heart. The Bible says of the Christian, to you and I who are saved, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The God's promise to his children is, I will put my spirit within you. Also, Christian, today you're near to the Lord because of his great love toward you. Think of the words of Paul to the Christians in the church at Ephesus. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he have loved us. And the greatest of all bonds is love. The Bible says that charity never faileth. Turn the page in your Bible. Look at what Solomon says there about love in chapter 8 of this book and the verse number 7. He says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Therefore, believer, because of God's unchanging love toward you, you have today in Christ a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Also, believer, today we can say the Lord is near to you because of his great sympathy for you. While he was here on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, he lived a perfect life, a completely sinless life. But he also knew what it was to suffer. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus at the grave of Lazarus and says, and Jesus wept. He shed tears. He sympathizes with us. Therefore, Christian, in the meeting today, believer, he knows your need and he is touched with your needs. He is touched with your cares. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus and says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He sympathizes with us in our heartaches, in our burdens, in our cares, in our pains, in our trials, in our tears. The Bible says of the Lord that he careth for you, and because of that care, he has promised, Christian, to be with you, to be with you all along your life's journey. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The hymn writer says, there is not an hour that he is not near us, no, not one, no, not one. No night so dark that his love can't cheer us, no, not one. No, not one. Believer is a garden enclosed. Rejoice today in the nearness of the Lord. He is to you, dear believer, a friend, the Bible says, that sticketh closer than a brother. Yes, these words remind us of the nearness of the Lord to his people, to his church. But secondly, we can say further that these words, a garden enclosed, they remind us of the security of the church. It says here, a garden enclosed. And a garden enclosed is a protected garden. It is a garden that is protected from harm, from the wind, from wild beasts, from predators. It's protected by a wall or an enclosure around it. And that really reminds us of how the Lord is the protector of his people. He protects them from dangers that are seen and dangers that are unseen in this life. In the book of Zechariah chapter 2 in the verse number 5, the Lord there is speaking to his church. And this is what he says. He says, "For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and I will be the glory in the midst of her." And then the psalmist says, God is our refuge. And the psalmist spoke those words because they were testifying of God's protection upon the people of God. He is as a wall of fire round about us as his children. And Christian, as you seek to serve the Lord and as you seek to live for the Lord in this ungodly world, daily you can pray. Daily you can ask the Lord to protect you from evil, from sin, from temptation, and from harm along life's journey, harm and danger that is both seen and unseen. You remember Israel, whenever they traveled through the wilderness to the promised land, the psalmist says this about God's care of his people. He says, "He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." It was Martin Luther who said of the Christian that we are immortal till our work for God on earth is done. What security the believer has in Christ. And believer, can I say this security and protection of the Lord? It means, yes, that the Lord will keep you and I and all his people unto eternal life, unto eternal glory in heaven. None of God's sheep whom he has redeemed will ever be lost in hell. All will be safely gathered into heaven. All will be safely gathered into glory. All God's children will make it home to heaven and will make it home to glory. Think of the words of Jude, verse 24. It says, "Now unto him," that's the Lord, "that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Christian, the Lord who has saved you, he is able to keep you unto life eternal. Turn in your Bible over to John's Gospel, chapter 17. John's Gospel, chapter 17. And here you have Christ in prayer, his great high priestly prayer. He is praying for his church, for you, dear believer, for all God's saints, all God's redeemed people. Look at what he prays in John's Gospel, chapter 17, and verse number 12. He says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me," that's all his church, "those how thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost." Look at verse 24. He says, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am," that's heaven, "that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." And there Christ is praying that all his people will one day behold his glory. His glory in heaven where he is at the Father's right hand at this particular time. And Christ's prayers are always answered. Not one of them will ever be unanswered by God the Father. It was old Bishop J.C. Ryle who said that grace always leads to glory. And believer, can I say today that your guarantee of heaven is all due to Christ. It is all due to the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. There he fully paid the debt of sin for all God's people. When he cried out on the cross, "It is finished." The Bible says of Christ on the cross, this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Therefore, when you trust him as Savior, you're delivered from hell. You are afforded a place in God's heaven. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Speaking of those who trust him, Christ says, "I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." The Lord is one who is ever mindful of his covenant, the covenant of grace and redemption that he's made with all his people to save them and to keep them unto life eternal. Yes, we see here the security of the church, the nearness of the church to the Lord. Notice, thirdly here from our text today, notice the separation of the church. Look again at our text. The church is described here in verse 12 of Song of Solomon 4 as a garden enclosed. You think of that, a garden enclosed is separate from the world around it. And likewise, the Lord's church, his redeemed people, are to be separate from the ways of this ungodly world. The Bible says to you and I who are Christians, who are saved, it says, "Love not the world." Again, if you turn in your Bible, please, back to John's Gospel, chapter 17. We see here Christ again praying about this very matter of the Lord's church being separate from the world. Look at John chapter 17, verses 14 and 15 and 16 of the chapter. He says, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And that speaks of the separation of the believer, of the church of Christ, from the world. And as Christians, we are not to live like the ungodly. Our words, our deeds, our thinking, our attitude is to be different from the unsaved, from this evil world. The Bible says to you and I who are Christians, be not conformed to this world. And this does not mean that we're to live like hermits or monks or nuns. Such a life is not biblical Christianity, no. But rather, as we live the Christian life in our homes, amongst our family, in our workplaces, in our recreation, in the community where we live, and in the Lord's work, our standard is to be from the Lord and from his word and from his truth and from the ways of the Lord. The Bible says to you and I as Christians, it says, "Learn not the way of the heathen." We're not to take our lead from the heathen, from the ungodly. The Bible says to you and I who are Christians, it says, "Be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing." This is an unclean, immoral world, and we are to separate from the immoral, impure ways of this world and society as Christians. The Bible says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." If that thing looks evil, we are to abstain from it. That's God's will for us as Christians. But on the other hand, the Word of God, the Lord says, we are to cleave unto the Lord. We are to be close to the Lord and his ways. Psalm 1 talks about the blessed man, and it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." We're not to take our lead or counsel from the ungodly, but rather it's to be from the Lord, the law of the Lord, the ways of God. We're to delight in the ways of the Lord, and we will know the Lord's blessing upon us as his people, as his children, day by day. Dear child of God, it is dangerous for you and I as believers to live close to the ways of this ungodly world. It is dangerous to follow the ways of this ungodly world and to adopt its ways and its manners. To do so, yes, what will mar our testimony as Christians. It will hinder our walk with God. It will impede our service for God as Christians, as God's people. Speaking to the Lord's people in his own church on one occasion about this matter of separation from the world and warning them of backsliding by following the evil ways of this world. Charles Spurgeon said to his people, he said, "You must not be too strict. To avoid the worst, keep clear of the bad." That is good advice for us all as Christians. God's people in the world are not to be off the world. There's to be that line of demarcation and separation from the world and the ungodly ways of this world. Notice one final thought in connection with our text here today. Notice the reservation of the church. It says, a garden enclosed. You think about those words, think about a garden enclosed. A garden enclosed is reserved for the use, indeed for the enjoyment of its owner. And so it is with the church of Christ. God's people are saved, they are set apart for the Lord's delight, indeed for the Lord's use. One of the great titles that the Lord gives to his people is that title of Hephzibah, or God's delight in his people. Turn your Bible over to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62 and the verse number 4. Here the Lord is speaking to his people. And he says, "Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be marred." If you have a Bible with a central margin, you'll see that that word Hephzibah, that title, literally means that my delight is in her. The very fact that the Lord delights in his people, it means the Lord delights in all his redeemed people, his saints of God. And then over in the Psalms, the psalmist is speaking about the Lord's people, and he says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." And believer, in saving you and I, yes, we now belong to the Lord. We are the Lord's property. Our life is now reserved, set apart for the Lord, by the Lord. And that means, dear believer, that the Lord delights in you, and he delights in you as his child through the blood of Christ, through the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to all God's people. And in delighting with you, dear believer, the Lord longs for your fellowship. He longs for your communion with him through the place of prayer. He says, "Seek ye my face." Also in belonging to the Lord, dear believer, you're set apart to serve him. This is to be your chief purpose in life now that you're saved. Turning your Bible over to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Look with me, please, at verse 1 of that chapter. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Present our bodies a living sacrifice. That is our reasonable service. Therefore, dear child of God, I say today, throughout your Christian life, give yourself to the Lord. Give yourself to prayer. Pray daily. Take time to pray. Give yourself to the public seasons of prayer. That's vital for our spiritual well-being, vital for the spiritual well-being of the Lord's church. Then also, as a believer, give yourself to God's work. When a need arises, when the call comes to some aspect of Christian service, respond like Isaiah of old. He said, "Lord, here am I. Send me." O child of God, this is the Lord's will for your life and for my life as a believer, as being part of that garden enclosed that belongs to the Lord. We'll just close our meeting in a word of prayer. Just look to the Lord, ask for his blessing upon his word. And then we'll sing a closing hymn, and during the singing of that hymn, if you cannot stay for the Lord's table, I'll be at the door to greet you, but we would encourage as many as possible to wait behind and remember the Lord's death in his own appointed way. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for thy presence with us here today. We thank thee for thy word and this picture of thy church, a garden enclosed, my sister, my spouse. And we thank thee for each and every one that is in that garden today in this gathering. Each and every one who can rejoice in Christ as their Redeemer, a blood-bought member of the Church of Christ.
Help us by thy grace. Help us by thy power, O God, to glorify thee day by day, to bring forth fruit in our lives, in our homes, in our workplaces, in the community where we live, and thy work that we may be involved in, wherever that is, to bring glory and honor unto thy name, that people might see that we belong to the Lord, that we're not our own, that we're saved and set apart for thine honor and for thy service, thy cause and thy kingdom. And Lord, for any in the gathering today who are not saved, still outside of the fold of God, speak to them. And O Lord, today may they come as a repentant sinner to Christ and trust him whom to know is life eternal. Answer prayer. Bless us as we would shortly gather around the table of the Lord. For any who cannot stay, bless them in their homeward journey. Keep thy hand upon them for good throughout this day. Return them again in thy will this evening. And pour out thy Spirit upon us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We'll close our service by singing together the hymn number 580 in your hymn book. The hymn number 580. A sovereign protector I have, unseen yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. We'll stand as we sing after the singing of this first verse. I'll be going to the door, and if you cannot stay for the Lord's table, we'll be there to greet you. We'll encourage as many as possible the Lord's people to wait behind and remember the Lord's death in his own appointed way. We'll stand as we sing.